1 Corinthians 12. Let's read again verse 28. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. We said governments is the gift of the pastor. These are ministry gifts given to the church so that the church can pull together, can grow up and accomplish the work assigned to her. And these are important gifts. And we reverence the office as well as the person who fills that office. Now, I want you to see this word helps. Now, I don't want to be too profound, but the gift of helps is people who help. Now, turn back to Exodus. Anytime God places a ministry gift in our presence and gives that minister a task to accomplish in a people to draw from, he places in that body helpers. God spoke to Moses in the burning bush. You remember that. He called Moses out to lead the people. Moses was the leader. He didn't call another. And yet Moses found out without helpers, he couldn't fulfill the task assigned to him. There is, in Exodus, a barrage of helpers given to Moses. Now, those helpers weren't taken over for Moses. They were standing by Moses' side. They were seeing the same vision that Moses had. They were there to see that Moses could do what God asked him to do. In chapter 17, this is after they crossed the Red Sea, came out of Egypt, headed to the Promised Land. Verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did that 17:10 as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone, put it under him. He sat thereon. Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on the one side, the other on the other side. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Now, why were his hands steady? Because he had help. He had help. Moses heard from God. The assignment was Moses. Moses said, Joshua, you take the army. Go to battle. I'm going to the top of the hill. Orders from headquarters. Thus saith the Lord, this is how we're going to win. You know, different battles are won in different manners. You have to hear from heaven. You hear from the Holy Ghost. He tells you this is how we're going to do it. You know, so often we have our own plan, our own way, our own idea, our own concept. And because it's our idea, it doesn't work. And you know, the scripture in Isaiah says God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. If we go our way, we miss his way. If we embrace our thought, we miss his thought. Well, in order to win, we have to have his thought. Now, it is God's method of organization to choose out men, to give them vision, godly assignment, divine empowerment, and then to choose the people to stand by their side to make that vision come to pass. And Moses had Aaron and Hur. And Moses couldn't hold steady, his hands were too heavy. In other words, he couldn't hang in there. You ever been there? Boy, I have. Couldn't hang in there anymore. So they held his hands up. And they won because his hands were in the air. Because when his hands fell down, they began to lose the battle. Said, why did God do it that way? I don't know. But you see, I have to have God's plan. Now, if we were going to cast somebody into the lion's den, word came to us, somebody had been thrown to the lion's den, we'd have gotten troops together, stormed the palace. But that wasn't God's way. See, if we're going to win, we have to have God's plan. God said, no, let them heat the fire. It won't bother us. I'll walk into the fire, protect them, bring them out. Now, that's not man's way. That's God's way. It's supernatural. And see, ministry gifts are supernatural. They're supernatural. You know what supernatural is? Above and beyond what's normal and natural. It's beyond the way you would think, the way you would plan. Now, to stand on top of the hill with your hands in the air doesn't seem like a very good way to win a battle. But neither did walk around the walls of Jericho for 6 days. Then blow the trumpet and the walls would fall. Seem like a good idea to you? What about sending in David to kill Goliath? And letting the army stand behind, do nothing. Seem right to you? God's thought, my thought. His way, my way. Your way won't work. How many already figured that out? Well, God said, send Moses to the top of the hill, send Joshua out to battle, put a man on either side of Moses, hold up his hands. Moses had to have help. They could not have won if he did not have help. Now, the helpers are as important as the man with the commission. Sometimes we think, well, I'm not this great pastor or this great evangelist. And you think when you get to heaven, they'll have greater reward than you because they won more souls, they accomplished more. But you know they won't have greater reward than you will if you did what you were assigned to do. I'm not called as an evangelist yet. I don't think that's coming. And if I was to rent a stadium to evangelize, it's not likely to work. Because that's not what God has called me to do. That's not what is in my heart. I am a teacher. He called me to instruct the body and help the body to grow. Now, sometimes God adds gifts. Sometimes he shifts you. Fine with me. But today, I'm a teacher. Now, if I fulfill my commission and do what I'm called to do, my reward is as great as the man that filled the stadium. Because I was faithful in what was assigned to me. But you know, I don't go without help. Can't go without help. And Wayne Cumby takes me everywhere I go. Now, don't faint with jealousy, ladies. Blows my hair dry. Look at chapter 18. Has his pockets full of mints and Kleenex. Makes sure the microphone's on. Gets me to my destination. I couldn't do it without him. And a great man of God who knows me knows that. He says, I hope you're not planning to go anywhere alone. And I said, no, sir, I'm not. And I'm not. And when people call me, I let them know I don't come alone. Well, Moses had to have help. Now, I love this 18th chapter. You got to underline this, jump up and down. Verse 13, it came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people. The people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. In other words, they're standing in line, waiting their turn to talk to Moses, telling Moses what they need. And Moses is going to instruct them, it says verse 15 and 16, out of the law. He's going to give them the statute of God, apply that statute to their situation, help them come up with a solution. From morning till evening. From morning. Do you know how many Israelites there were? History says approximately 3 million. That's a lot of talking, a lot of listening, a lot of standing, a lot of waiting. Now Moses' father-in-law comes along. Verse 17, I love this. Moses' father-in-law said to him, the thing thou doest not good. I love honesty, don't you? Thou wilt surely wear away. So you continue to do everything yourself, by yourself. You're going to wear away both thou and the people that's with thee. For this thing's too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Now Moses had the commission. Moses had the vision. Moses had the call. Moses saw the burning bush. He's the leader. But everybody could see the leader can't accomplish anything by himself. His father-in-law gave him some advice. Verse 19 is very significant. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. He's saying, Moses, your place is before God on behalf of this people. He said, be thou for the people before God. So he instructed Moses to appoint helpers, good number of helpers that'll judge the people in all the small matters. And he said, if something's too hard for them, they can't figure it out, they'll bring that to you. And he had a barrage of helpers. In Numbers, it talks about 70 men who were appointed. He said, most you're going to wear out. These people are going to wear out. They're waiting all day long. And your place is before God. Now, I don't know if you know. You probably do. You can just have lunch with a friend, wear out. Especially if they talk a lot. Have you ever done that? And you're going, really? Wow. You don't say. Was that yesterday? Oh, my goodness. Next thing you know, you don't want children come home from school. You said, don't talk to me, okay? He said, Moses, I've appointed you. I've anointed you. And yet you must have help. Got to have help. Now, the helper is as important as the man with the commission. You remember the great battle in the Old Testament. They came to the river. They had fought for some time. Half of the men are too tired to go on. Some of them said, we can't go on. And so the leader said, stay by the stuff. So they took those that were able across the river, fight the battle. They won the battle. They came back to the guys still sitting on the back side of the river by the stuff. And a little haughty, they said, we get more reward than they do. They didn't do anything. They didn't even cross the river. And leadership said, see, this is the word of the Lord. Leadership said, the man that stays by the stuff gets the same reward as the man that fought the battle. See, all I have to do is my part. Say, my part. My part. Now, by the Holy Ghost, I know what my part is. Now, look at Exodus 24, verse 13. Moses rose up and his minister, Joshua. Moses went up into the Mount of God. Moses rose up and his minister. In other words, Moses and Joshua went together. Now, that word minister is the word servant. You look it up in the concordance, it says to do menial jobs, to wait on, to serve. Joshua wasn't anybody, you know, we'd say ain't nobody. And his part is to serve Moses, to stick with Moses, to hear the voice of Moses, to do what Moses needs done. Moses is hearing from God, Joshua standing by Moses' side as the servant, to do menial tasks. That's the dirty work. Now you remember Elisha. This same phraseology says Elisha was the servant of Elijah. And Elisha's part was to stay by Elijah's side. Do you know how many years Elisha was the servant? Say servant. That's a helper. Do you know how many years Elisha was the helper, the servant to Elijah? Over 20. 20. But you know what happened to Elisha when Elijah died? Stepped into a double portion of the anointing and became the prophet of God. What happened to Joshua when Moses died? Joshua the servant became the leader. All of those years they ministered, they served, they waited. And when the time was right, see, it's a time of training, a time of learning. God reached down and promoted the faithful. Now, I've been a helper all my life. I just did whatever they asked me to do. I did a couple things I couldn't do. I worked in Kids Zone 5 years. If you don't think that was funny, you should have been there. That was funny. But they needed somebody, and I said I'd do it. And I stuck with it. Now, look over in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 1. Say, helper. 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 This is what happened to Joshua. This is what happened to Elisha. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. How did they get into the ministry? Through faithfulness as a helper. Through being available as a helper. I thank God who enabled me, counted me faithful. That's the very verse the Lord gave to me. It was on the basis of my staying by the stuff that he promoted me. Just hung in there. Did what they told me to. Tried to be in all the right places, all the right times. And the day came when they ordained me into the ministry. Faithful, see? Faithful. Now, according to the book of Proverbs, who abounds in blessings? Who? The faithful. I call that step one, the ministry of show up. A lot of people hadn't conquered that. They say they'll come and they don't. Or they're 30 minutes late, they've already been replaced. Or inconvenienced leadership. First thing a faithful man does is what? 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 You fasten your seatbelt, it'll be all right. You won't fall out of your chair. Okay? What's the first thing a faithful man do?
Show up.
What happens to the faithful man? He's blessed and promoted. Blessed and promoted. Blessed and promoted. The who? The faithful man. Now you think of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had lots of helpers. You know when he said the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few, then he took the disciples, divided them up two by two, and sent them out into every city? He couldn't get there himself. He couldn't do it all himself. He was commissioned by heaven. He was sent by the Father. He said so. He said, my Father sent me. And the Spirit and the anointing of God was upon him. But when he sent them out in the same power that was upon him. You see, the helper shared the anointing of the one who's called and in charge. You get that? Look at Matthew 10. Verse 1. When he called unto them his 12 disciples, he gave them what? He gave them what?
Power.
In other words, the power, the anointing to, against unclean spirits, to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness, all manner of disease, and he sent them out into the city to preach, to teach, and to bring healing to the people. And he gave them the power. Where'd that power come from? They shared the anointing. They shared the vision of Jesus. Just like Elisha began to share Elijah's vision and Joshua so shared Moses' vision that he stepped into Moses' position. And it said Moses laid his hands on him before he died, and the spirit of Moses came upon Joshua. Began to share that anointing, began to share that spirit. Now look at Numbers chapter 11. I'm just talking about a helper, somebody that listens to God. Verse 11. Moses said, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? You see, it doesn't matter how strong the man, the woman, how strong the anointing, how much power, how much wisdom they have. They're still going to find dealing with people and accomplishing the task assigned to them is going to require help. It is a privilege to be a helper. I've had good help and bad help. I'm telling you, when you've had to say, I need some water, you bring me some water. Or when you have to say, would you help that man, please? You know, when you have to tell them everything, when they're just oblivious, they're no help at all. Then you have a helper and he appears. Suddenly there he is with the water, or she. I've had some wonderful help. And then when you next thing you turn around, they're gone. I remember a gentleman they selected to help a major ministry, and I happened to know the gentleman, and I thought, that's what I thought. You can quote me. I thought, boy, that won't ever work. I've watched, though. Absolutely fascinating what the anointing of God can do. The spirit of the man in charge came upon this man. He's always there with the handkerchief when the man sweats, always there with the water, always in the back room with his Bible and his books that he left out front. He's always in the right place, always on time, always. The spirit of the man in charge has come upon him in order to aid the man in charge to do what God has said. It's fascinating. It's wonderful. Sometimes it's better to be a helper than to be in charge. You know, when you're in charge, you've got to determine what God wants you to do. When you're a helper, you just got to say, yes, sir, we'll do it. Now look at this. Moses said, this is too big a deal. All these people. Verse 14, he says, I'm not able to bear all these people alone. It's too heavy. It's too heavy. It's too much. Verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, gather me the 70 men, the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit, which is upon thee, and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Now Jesus had the disciples, and they went before him, and when 12 wasn't enough, he anointed another 70 and sent them out two by two. He enlarged the scope of the help. After Jesus had ministered, and they came to him from every quarter, they were going across the sea on a ship. Where's Jesus? He's in the back of the boat asleep. He's tired. He's prayed and ministered and laid hands on all those people. But the helpers, what are they doing? Rowing the boat to the other side. Can you imagine if he's got to prepare the message here from heaven? Do we want to talk about the name of Jesus today? Do we want to talk about faith? Do we want to talk about the words of our mouth? Should we talk about redemption? Should we talk about the healing covenant? You want to talk about holiness today, Lord? Can you imagine? And then preparing, finally getting a word from the Lord, making the preparation, determining that you're headed in the right direction, preaching the sermon, and then rowing the boat across the river to your next destination. It's too heavy. It's too heavy. It's too much. And where is the position of the man called? What did he say about Moses? Your place is to be for the people, before God. Now look at Acts chapter 6. So when God calls you to help, he places some of that helping spirit upon you. Don't you like that? Yes. So you know what to do. So you're equipped to follow. In Acts chapter 6, this is the same thing as Moses. It's not different. Those days when the number of disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglecting the daily administration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. They'd gotten so busy tending to the business. They couldn't read anymore. They couldn't pray anymore. They couldn't study to show themselves approved anymore. They couldn't labor in the word. The chief responsibility is to labor in the word, to hear from God for the people, bring the message to the people, stir up the sheep. They couldn't. They got to see that all these widows are fed. Now that's what Moses was doing, you see. Said from morning to evening, all these people lined up to talk to Moses, lined up to give Moses their problem. Moses is going to tell them what thus saith the Lord, what the law says, help them solve this problem. They're waiting in line all day. Moses is sitting there all day long. Thank God for people with wisdom. His father-in-law comes along and says, this is not good. Your place is to be before the Lord for the people. Now that's pastor's place, to be before the Lord for the people. So I'm going to make it convenient for him to be before the Lord for the people. I'm going to be the helper. Say, what can I do, Lord? How can I help? Can you imagine if there were no helpers and all the babies and all the children were in the service? Mom's distracted, Dad's distracted. If I'm sitting next to you, in front of you, or behind you, I'm distracted. Or there were no ushers. When the drunk comes in, sits on the back row, fully inebriated and obnoxious, and we have no ushers. Can you imagine? If pastor's got to come down, do something about that. So we're not going to have a drunk here. Oh, I expect you will. Fish don't come clean, you know. You clean them after they get here. I've been to churches where the pastor did the music and the preaching. Never felt so sorry for anybody in my life. You know, after you do the music, get the anointing in the right position, get yourself in position to preach, you're too tired. It's too heavy. Moses says it's too much. Jethro says it's too much. But God said, I'll select somebody to help you. And then I'll place some of your spirit on them. Are you getting that? I'll place some of your spirit on them. Now, I've ministered with a gentleman just as a helper for years. And I was out of town at another church, preached two services, and a lady came to me after service, and she said, you know, you remind me of somebody. Well, I've been compared to a couple other women in ministry, and I thought that's what she's going to say, you know. I said, I do. She said, yeah, you know who you remind me of. You remind me of Pastor so-and-so. You know why that is? Because standing by his side, touch of his spirit's come upon me. That means I'm real careful where I stand. A touch of his spirit's come upon me. And that's why I reminded her of him. But now I'm not him. And I don't have his call. I don't have his commission. I'm not in charge. He's in charge. I've just been standing there by his side. And over the years, I've done any number of things at his request. Just any number. And a touch of his spirit. Touch of his spirit, see? Touch his spirit's come. Now the people in the nursery get as much reward for showing up, being faithful, as the man who stands behind the pulpit. So how can that be? Because God said, the faithful what? Now helper's place is to provide the man of God with a great refreshing. He stays fresh. He stays before God. He's not worn out. He hears from heaven because you did all the dirty work, all the hard work. And if that's your assignment and a touch of that spirit comes upon you, it won't be any big deal for you. You know, the bigger you grow, the more helpers you need. Have you figured that out? I was at one church with one usher. That's all they needed. They just needed that one usher. He greeted us in the parking lot, very gracious gentleman, did exactly what they told him to, asked me, did I need any help, escorted me to the right place, stood at the back door. That's all I had. That's all I needed. That won't work here. See, the bigger you grow, the more helpers. But every helper will have a touch of the Spirit. Every helper will see in some measure what the man in charge sees. In some measure, not in full measure, so that you can do your part. Now, all of your body, you have multitude of parts, do you not? And do you need all of those parts, or do you want to surrender any of them? I mean, past your appendix, do you want to give up anything? You didn't really want to do that, did you? Because there's what we call is pain. There's pain involved. I'm against pain. Are you against pain? You need all those parts, and the body of Christ needs you. You may think you're not very significant. And from heaven, I can hear the voice of the Lord saying, where is she? Where is she? Where is he? Where's my helper? Where's Joshua? Where's Aaron? Where's her? Where's the 70? Where's the 12? Where are they? Now look at Proverbs. Let me show you something. 13. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest. Now, when is the last time we had snow in harvest? Anybody remember the last time they were picking beans here and it snowed? I won't give you the Cumbie translation of that. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest. You're out picking beans. We used to grow, have a little truck farm. Wayne was raised on a farm, and for a long time we did some farming. And you're out there sweating, and your back hurts. And you got your children. I had the children all lined up, and they hated that. And Joel would say to me, Mom, don't they grow these at the store? It took us years, years to convince Wayne Cumbie that we could buy those at the store. I've been delivered. So, but I like a garden. You go right ahead. It's all right with me. I got tired of bending over. Got tired of sweating. But what happens as the snow in harvest, somebody brings you a slushy or a slurpee or a snow cone or whatever you'd call it. There you are in the harvest, bent over, sweating. He says, okay, like the Slurpee at the time of harvest. That's the Cumbie translation. Or a Diet Coke. Full of ice. You getting the picture? Sweat, work, labor, Slurpee. You got it? Okay. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is the faithful messenger to them that send him. He refreshes the soul of his master. Who keeps the master, the one in charge, refreshed, relaxed, at peace? The messenger, the helper, the one that was sent. And he compares it to an ice-cold drink in the harvest. Someone to help you, some messenger to go for you, someone sent on your behalf. So it's like a Diet Coke with plenty of ice when you're working hard. A helper. A helper. Now every time you're helping here, doing your part, say my part, you're bringing a refreshing. What happens if the man's fresh? You know, if I'm tired, there's no way I can minister by the Spirit. Being tired affects your perception and your ability to draw from the Holy Ghost. And when you travel and you fly, you go overseas, we have to go a couple days early. Why is that? So that you can get refreshed, so that you can hear from the Spirit, so that you can do the work you came to do. So we go early. Now we come right home. So drag me to the plane. I like to go, I like to come home. But when somebody's by your side and seeing, shares the anointing. Now I've been married to Wayne Cumby 34 years. I am really good at figuring him out after 34 years. I remember when the children were home, Suzanne was a great cook. She works in our office, and that's our daughter. And she's a real blessing to us. Well, she was cooking, she loved to cook, and I loaded the dishwasher, did all the cleaning, she did all the cooking. Well, sometimes Wayne likes coffee, sometimes he doesn't have coffee, and you have to perceive that. You have to know that. So he came home one day, and she had the supper ready, but she didn't know whether or not to put on the coffee pot. So she came around the corner, and she says, Mom, I can't tell. I said, you can't tell what? She said, I went around, I looked in his eyes. You know, I could tell. I didn't even have to go around the corner and look at his eyes. I could perceive it through the wall. And that's no lie, I did. I said, put on the coffee pot. And it wasn't 2 or 3 minutes where he said, you got coffee ready? She said, how'd you know that? Because the touch of the Spirit of the man's come upon me. I know him. I used to tell the children, you know, not often, because Wayne's laid back and easygoing. He's not easily riled or uptight. Thank God. Because I saw him uptight once and I didn't think it was a good idea. I said, no, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. But every now and then I'd see he's had a hard day. Obviously he's a little uptight, and I'd say to the children, be a good idea to play in your room. And they'd look over and they'd go, and they'd take off. And he hadn't said a word. He hadn't hollered at anybody. I don't know. It's touch of the Spirit. You just know that. I don't know if it's the way he opened the back door. You think, uh-oh. Things are not good. Or the way he shuffles his feet. I don't know. Suzanne's all of them said, Mom, how did you know that? See, when you're a helper, you come to know things spirit to spirit. In the spirit, you perceive. I may be miles away, and I know. That's what a helper's for. Helpers help. Now, not hinder help. Years ago, Wayne's an artist, quite a gifted artist, and he was asked to do the artwork for a banquet. I believe it was the Hawaiian banquet, was it not? I forget. And this church in their basement brought in a load of dirt, you know, make the beach. And they wanted palm trees and water painted on the wall. So that's what they hired him to do. So they gave him a bunch of helpers, teenagers. But they're busy. They were at the water fountain. They were in the kitchen. They were in the potato chips. They were in the car. They were turning up the music. Well, they weren't helping. Now, what if we appoint these 7 men to wait on the Greeks and see that the widows are properly fed, and they don't show up? Or what if Moses gets to the top of the hill and Aaron's not there yet? Or what if Elijah calls for Elisha and he's taking a week off? I mean, when he has an assignment, you get to take a week off, you know, every year, at least one. But I mean, when he's assigned to do something and he's decided to take the week off, what happens? Can the man of God, with the call, with the anointing, accomplish the work alone? God said no. He said, God set in the church, God set prophets, apostles, teachers, governments, miracles, which is your evangelist, helps. Who set helpers in the church?
God.
Who thought help was a good idea?
God.
I said all that. That was my introduction to say this. Now look at 2 Corinthians 1:11. So I must show you something. You may not be the one that stands by pastor's side. You may not be involved in the music. You may not be the one that brings the water, brings the coat. But you do have an important part to play. There are specific people for specific tasks. You may not be included. You may not be an usher. You may not be a nursery worker. You say, well, I'm just not doing anything. Here's your part. You have a very important and significant part. Verse 11, you also helping together by prayer. Now, he wasn't talking to an individual. He's talking to the church at Corinth. He's, you're helping me by prayer. You may not be anywhere else doing anything else, although I'm absolutely positive they can find a spot for you. But every one of us is called to pray. Every one of us gets up and says, does pastor need anything today? Does the staff need anything today? You know, I used to pray for government. I got tired of that. I did. I said, you know, God, you can pay for all those people. You pray for them to be elected, they lose. That's the way it looked to me. You pray for them to support Israel, they choose somebody else. I said, this is not work. I'm tired of praying for government. I want to do other things. And I had a revelation. And here's how it went. Every time God said you pray for government, you're standing in that place expressing my opinion. Paul said, I'm absent in body but present in spirit. I am absent in body, but I'm present in spirit. And in the spirit, I'm expressing heaven's opinion, saying this is what God would do in this place with this law, with this legislation. I'm praying, and every time I pray, I'm speaking for God. And I could see, I had kind of a mini vision. I could see all those justices in the Supreme Court. You know who was sitting there with them? I was. And every time I pray, I sit in that place. This is what God would do. See, and your prayer is the glue that supports this place, that holds up the man of God, that enables him to be refreshed and to follow his vision. Now let's read a couple more before we quit. Romans 15:30. Now Paul had a multitude of helpers. I mean, he had help. You go to the end of Romans. Well, we're right here. We might read it in a minute. Look at verse 30 here, though. Chapter 15. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers. Strive together in what? He's talking to the church at Rome. Now Paul called for one man. He said, bring me my cloak. He called for another one, said, bring me my parchment. He called for Tychicus twice. He said, you go to Ephesus, tell them how I'm doing, find out how they're doing. Then he sent him to Colossae. He said, you go over there, find out how they're doing, tell them how I'm doing. Then he said to Aquila and Priscilla, he said, they are my helpers in the faith. But I might not be the one that brings the cloak, carries the books, but I am the one who prays. My helpers in prayer, he said, helping me by prayer. Now look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Verse 19, I know, this is the words of Paul to church at Philippi, he's not talking to an individual. These are not verses written to an individual telling Sister Becky, I want you to pray, or Brother Bob, I want you to pray. He said, Philippians, all of you, saints of God in Philippi, for I know this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. They were all praying. They were all praying. Helpers pray. The first thing a helper does, every helper prays. Every helper supports the ministry through prayer. And he can't do the job assigned to him if you don't, in the spirit and in body, support him. We pray. Now look at Philemon. Or Philemon, doesn't matter to me how you pronounce it. Verse 22. Prepare me a lodging, for I trust that what? Through your prayers. How's he going to come to them? Through prayer. Now look at Ephesians. Let's finish with Ephesians chapter 6. All of these are written to the church, to an entire body of people, not to individuals. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. Paul says, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. He didn't say, Tychicus, pray for me, or Titus, pray for me. He didn't say, Aquila, pray for me, Priscilla, pray for me. They helped him. They came, went to and fro for him. But when he got ready to pray, he said, all of my helpers, all of my helpers, all of you at Ephesus, pray. All of you at Philippi, pray. All of you at Rome, pray. All of you in Corinth, pray, 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 pray. Prayer is like tuning in your TV, sharpens your vision. And a lot of the spirit that comes upon you of the man comes because you pray. And in prayer, spirit to spirit, you begin to sense needs. You don't have to say anything. You begin to sense stress. You begin to sense answers as well. All of us are going to pray. And if you don't pray, it's kind of like your liver deciding not to work. How many body parts do you want not to work? Or maybe your liver's working good, but your stomach's checked out. Or your stomach's working good, but your right lung's checked out. So we are the body of Christ, members. The King James says, members in particular. And the translators say, we are the body of Christ and members with assigned parts. And one part we all play is to pray. Is to pray. Is to pray. Is to pray. I prayed for a pastor. I pray for him all the time. I mean, I didn't intend to pray for him all the time. I just do. I'd find myself praying. I'm praying for this same pastor. I know lots of pastors. And I said to Wayne one day, do you know I pray for that man more than I pray for my pastor? I pray for him all the time. I just had begun to notice every time I get in the spirit, I pray for him. And the minute I said that to Wayne, you know I pray for that man all the time. I knew why I did. I knew it as well as I know my name. His people don't pray for him. And God had to go outside the walls of his helpers to find somebody that would support him so he could do the job assigned to him. He can't do it without your prayer. He's crippled without your prayer. Now, the best way to pray is pray in other tongues, right? You don't have to be too smart. You don't have to have a bulletin. Be informed, right? Are you a helper? Do you want to be a helper? So where does a helper start? What does every helper do?